Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcoming you to the last hour of our first New Year's edition of Animal World. It's the first Sunday of January, and we are live every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon up our left. That'll click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online. You'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Check out all the stuff. You know, mostly it's like 99% good news and great videos and photos and all that good stuff. You can find all kinds of all the current events information there and on the Animal World website. But Facebook's got all the great posts. But that Purina post that I put up from thetruthaboutpetfoods.com, be interesting to see if the FDA does their job with them and we hear the truth about what's going on with them, because they really kind of control the industry behind the scenes. Anyway, so we'll be following that. So it is time here, as usual, now in the new year. It is time for people that I don't know how they have time to do anything else. There is so much going on with animals around the world, but man, I am blown away. They seem to keep up with everything. But it's animals24-7.org is the website. And if you get on the mailing list, then you'll find out what they're doing. But Beth and Merritt Clifton are here. And good morning, you two.
Morning and good happy morning. New Year.
Now, are you having guests or visitors or something? I saw you guys waving at somebody. What's going on over there? You having a party?
A friend of ours just walked by the window on the sidewalk.
Ah, okay. So and folks, if you haven't figured it out, we're all Zooming in today. So I do have Merritt and Beth on line on camera so we can see each other. But, you know, I just assume that our attention's on each other and all of a sudden we're auld lang syning with the jingle cats and the two of them are waving away. And it's like, well, what's going on? So apparently your computer's set up in front of a window that looks outside your home so you can see.
Well, oh, that's just everything and everybody that goes by.
All right.
So front yard.
I've just got gray, overcast, benign day here. Nathan flashed me some pictures of down the Bellevue Factoria, and it kind of went away. But there's some sun coming out. At least there was a little bit of blue sky. I'm hoping it's coming up my direction. I just see a little titch of blue sky up above there. But there was quite a bit of sun a moment ago. Are you getting some sun, Nathan, down there?
Like maybe just tiny little patch above Mercer Island, and that's really all I can see at the moment.
Well, all right, and then Merritt and Beth, you guys are out on Whidbey Island. What's going on weather-wise out with you?
Well, you really can't tell because you can have sunshine in one part of Whidbey Island, pouring in another part of Whidbey Island, and fog in another part of Whidbey Island. So weather systems all over the island.
We can see all three right at this moment. We've got two patches of blue sky, and it's raining right in between the two of them.
Wow. All right. Well, then I guess I have the calmest just nothing burger going on here. Anyway.
You know, I just wanted to say that Auld Lang Syne cat song that you just played, it kind of made me sad. It made me think of all the cats in my life.
Well, and it is kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe it does kind of have a sad, the song in general, you know, it's saying goodbye to the last year and all of that, although I'm not all that sad to see 2023 be gone. You know, a lot of time, hopefully 2024 will be a better year. Starting out a little dicey, but I guess we'll check in by the end of the year and see if we all survive. Speaking of that, There sure is a lot of stuff going on with animals all over the place. And how on earth you guys keep up with it and know all this? I mean, I don't know. Do you guys have a life outside of animals 24/7? It just seems to me that there's just so much going on.
Sometimes a lot busier than others. You know, right at the beginning of the year, there's always new laws coming into effect, and it's the time of year that we tally up all the data from all the different things we track and see if there's any changes going on. So it makes it a busy time. And then when you have other things going on in the background, like a war or a natural disaster, that adds a layer.
Yeah, well, and I guess the first thing we got to do is follow up with those wars and disaster we've got going on. I guess we could go back. Any updates on the Maui, Lahaina situation and the rebuild and animals over there? Are things improving?
Well, that situation is pretty well, as far as emergency relief and all that, is pretty well over with and has been for a few months.
Okay.
So we're not looking at that so much, but we're certainly looking at the Gaza situation. And
yeah, as you can tell, I got a little hesitant to get into that because, I mean, we need to know. But I think the numbers you were citing are pretty horrific. So catch us up, update us on what's going on with animals, the Israel-Gaza stuff.
Well, we have been trying to calculate, because nobody else is keeping track of the animals, we've been trying to calculate the animals from the human casualties and what's the ratio of pets to people, for example. In most of the Middle East, it's pretty low. There's not a lot of indoor pet keeping, but we're assuming there's roughly one dog or cat per family, and that suggests there might be about 375,000 owned animals in Gaza, dogs and cats, before the war broke out. Plus around maybe 125,000 street dogs and feral cats. This is just population ratios, and it's an informed guesstimate. It's not certain knowledge. There also may have been about 3,000 donkeys. Then over and above that, you have the animals such as sheep and goats that are kept to be slaughtered, and many of them would have been slaughtered anyway, so irrespective of the war, they would have met their demise over the last 3 months. It looks like the best calculation we can do, probably about 5,000 dogs and cats could be expected to have been casualties of the war. Again, over and above what would be the normal mortality for dogs and cats living among traffic and in a particularly congenial situation.
And it always kind of amazes me that I don't hear, other than from you guys, I don't hear any coverage of the animals in the war situation. It used to be that way when we had disasters, we never heard anything. But now, kind of at least in this country, if there's a disaster, at least at some point in a reason, somebody starts talking about the animals. But that just doesn't seem to happen in the war. We don't hear anything about, you know, Ukraine. And there's got to be a horrific situation with animals going on there too. You know, are there, I know that you said you're the only ones really paying attention to the numbers and the animals and Gaza and so forth. Are there organizations, animal organizations? I'm sure there must be some around that are trying to do something.
There certainly are several. On the Gaza side, there's Suwala Animal Rescue. On the Israeli side, there is Let the Animals Live, Freedom for Animals, and Israeli Bat Sanctuary, which really looks after all animals. Those three have been paying a great deal of attention to what goes on.
All right.
Many of the other organizations, Israel has a lot of animal organizations, but they are mostly in the more populated areas, not so much toward the war zone. So the ones we're hearing from are the ones that are closest to the war zone and have people that are close enough to be there, find out things, et cetera.
The donkeys in Gaza have taken a real bad hit. And Suwala Animal Rescue has been trying to help them. The biggest problem right now is getting food to them. They're running out of food. So nobody can really send them food. It's a war.
Yeah. Well, they don't have food for the people, you know.
Yeah, there's a relationship there in that in developing world situations, the animals, the dogs and cats live on food scraps and food waste. And when you don't have a food surplus, then you have a shortage. But conversely, in disasters, when buildings are knocked down, it exposes rats and mice and street dogs and feral cats very often do a lot better for a time anyway than the people do.
Because they eat the rodents.
Because they eat the rodents. At a certain point, the rodent supply will run out too, and we have no way of gauging what that situation is.
Yeah.
Wow. Sulala is actually a Palestinian organization, and they're not just, when they rescue, they're treating the animals medically. They're not vets, but surprisingly, they're doing an excellent job under the circumstances. Also, a lot of people are giving Sulala their pets because they can't take care of them. So they're also trying, it's a family. They're trying to accommodate people and give them food, but they're running out of food.
Wow. Yeah, so I think the situation, what probably just is what it is. And it's one of those situations where maybe the only thing we can do is send our thoughts and prayers and so forth. But thank goodness for you guys, at least you're paying attention so you can keep us informed of what's going on.
You had asked about Ukraine.
Yeah.
For
the first time in all this time since the war, on there's the animal rescue site that I go to every day and click on, you know, free kibble, you know, and it's a donation type site. For the first time on one of their, you know, click to help the animal things, for the first time there was a little page on abandoned animals and animals in need in Ukraine. And it's the first thing I ever saw. So what's going on there?
Well, they have a very harsh winter, and that's to be expected from where they are. But early on in the war, when the Russians went into Kiev and drawing a blank on the name of the other major city, the animal rescue groups had to pull back, of course, and they took as many animals with them as they could. Zoos were overrun and in some cases used as temporary fortifications. So there's tremendous loss of animals in the early part of the war, major evacuation. And now the animal groups have regrouped behind the lines, and they're pretty much in a holding pattern, taking care of what they can do. But they can't go forward into the war zones. Obviously, that would be suicidal. And whatever animals are in the war zones are having to forage for themselves. We've seen this in a lot of other war and disaster situations, but you know, the longer it goes on, really the worse it gets, and we're not going to be able to do much assessment until the shooting stops.
Yeah, well, and again, another reason for our prayers. At least we can do that, if nothing else. Are y'all recommending any places to like donate? And it brought me up a question too, because I know that if we go to your website, animals24-7.org, we can donate to you. And I kind of just assume that, well, that helps you keep going and doing the work that you're doing and all of that. Am I mistaken that if we donate to animals24-7, does some of that money go to help animals places, or is that mostly just to support the animals24-7?
We stay independent, completely independent of any of the hands-on or advocacy organizations, because our job is news.
Right.
But I wanted to mention that recommending organizations is also, it's like we're the umpire. We're not supposed to be scouting the ball players.
Yeah, okay.
But we can tell people what's going on and who's doing what. And for example, I could mention that there's an organization called Forepaws, founded as Vera Fotin, which is very active both actually in helping Sulala Animal Rescue and in working in the Ukraine. But I'm mentioning that because they happen to be in both places, and I don't know of any other major.
Oh, and what was the name of that one again?
In the United States, they're called Four Paws. They're
the number four.
Yeah, the number four.
Okay.
And they are actually based in Austria.
Uh-huh.
Where they're known as Vierpfoten, V-I-E-R, capital P-F-O-T-E-N.
Which means four paws in
yeah,
English.
Yeah, it means four. It's four paws in German and same name.
All right.
Probably recently become established in the U.S., but they've been working in Eastern Europe now for about 20 years.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And I think we need to take care of advertisers here to kind of stay on track. And then my understanding is the balance to all of this is that, Beth, with your new assignment, you're our good news about animals person. And apparently there's some good news about animals to talk about. So everybody stay right where you are, because we're going to come back and Beth is going to share with us all the good news about animals that she's come up with this month. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues more with animals24-7.org. Merritt and Beth Clifton are my guests. We will continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are about midway through the last hour of our New Year's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and we, of course, have my favorite, Dr. Morley Venkatro, will be joining us shortly to tell us all about the great classes coming up at Ananda. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Please come join our Animal World family of advertisers. Just shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty, we are in the middle of a conversation with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Kind of got the batter news out of the way about animals and the war zones and so forth, but we want to finish up today with our best good news about animals. And Beth, you have quite a list here, so what do you want to start with?
Okay, well, Last month, the South Korean Ministry of Oceans and Fisheries prohibited feeding marine mammals and riding on them, effective immediately.
Wow.
Oh, at aquariums. Yeah, she left that out. And they're not allowed to capture marine mammals for exhibition anymore.
Right. You can't go in the ocean and ride the porpoises.
Okay. So South Korea, they're not allowed to capture marine mammals now for exhibition. But those that are in exhibition, you said they now are outlawing them
feeding,
being able to ride and
feed them.
Yeah. All right.
Feeding them.
So that's an improvement.
Huge improvement.
So good news there. What else we got?
Well, California Proposition 12 is finally in effect. And that the importance of that is it requires people who are selling pig and poultry projects into the state, regardless of where they are, anywhere else in the country, to meet certain space requirements. They're not allowed to keep the pigs in gestation crates. They're not allowed to raise the hens in battery caging. And this took a long court battle, and it took a U.S. Supreme Court decision to finally go into effect. But it now is in effect, and it will force the pork industry in particular and the ag industry also to improve the conditions for millions and millions of animals.
That's outstanding. And so that wouldn't be just for the animals in California. This is any that out of state or whatever. If they're going to be brought to California products for sale, then they have to comply with the housing standards.
Right.
They have for the animals from Proposition 12. Well, outstanding. Congratulations, California. That's certainly a step in the right direction, and maybe more states will follow. And then, let's see, I'm looking at our list of, we've got something, France, and...
Yeah, the old chef that used horse meat kicked the bucket.
So that means apparently the famous old chef Jacques Le Bon was, like you said, the ultimate horse butcher. He's passed away, so we're hoping that horses and as being a food source and all of that is going to go away with him as well.
He was the last horse butcher in Paris, so the brand had gradually dwindled down to nothing, and with his passage, hopefully nobody else will take it up as a specialty.
All right. Now, this last one, we have one more good news story on this. I didn't even know this was an issue. But kangaroo leather and soccer cleats, what's that all about?
Well, that's been a 30-year battle. The major user of kangaroo leather worldwide was manufacturing athletic shoes, and the largest part of that was making soccer cleats, but they have finally given way to synthetics at the top level of competition, and several of the major manufacturers have pledged that they will no longer use kangaroo leather, which in turn is a colossal break for kangaroos in Australia, who have been shot in great numbers just for their hides.
Wow. All right. Well, how good is that? Well, I think this is a wonderful addition, and I love ending our discussion with good news about animals. And I'm going to have to get better at it's just so good to see you every month, and it's been a while since we've chatted that we're I'll keep us better on track so we can cover more things. But I sure appreciate the work that you do and keeping us informed of all of this stuff. And there's so much stuff that you check on. You guys really have to go to the website, animals24-7.org, and get on the email mailing list. list because they send out emails all the time that tell us what they're investigating, what they're reporting on, what they're working on, and absolutely amazing what you guys do. And we wouldn't know about it if you weren't there to report. So thank you so much for the work that you do. And thank you, Beth, especially for scouting out all that good news for us. And I look forward to chatting with you again in February. And we'll cover the bad news as well as the good news, but we'll always end with the good news. Anyway, you guys, and Eileen says we can say Happy New Year until January 11th. That's the new moon. So I'm going to wish you a Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us here on Animal World, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. God bless. Bye-bye. All righty. That means we get to change boats in midstream here, and it's time to address the human animal. And I have to say, I'm delighted once again. I mean, what a great show to start the new year. And after, it's been so long that I only can't even remember when was the last time that he joined us here on Animal World. And it's certainly been a long time since we've had a teaching show with our Dr. Morley. But the only doctor of yoga I know, one of my favorite, Dr. Morley Venkatro is here. Good morning, Dr. Morley, and welcome back to Animal World.
Good morning, Martha, and it's so wonderful, as always, to be here.
Oh,
I was thinking, when was the last time I was on? I think it's been almost 18 months.
Wow. Wow. Has it been that long? Well, you know how much I love to hear your voice on the air. Nathan actually said to me earlier today, not on the air, but when we were just chatting, he said, are you going to ask Morley to read the phone book or what? Because I always say, I just love your voice and your stories, and I could listen to you read the phone book and I would be entranced. So anyway, so I'm assuming that you were at the temple. Were at service this morning?
Yeah, we had a marvelous Yogananda's birthday service.
I was going to say, because there's a big event that you're kind of celebrating this weekend, if you want to start by telling us about that.
Yeah, the teachings of yoga that I'm about to talk about soon, they were brought to the West by many people. But the foremost among them was a monk, a Swami, from the eastern region of India. And he came over here in 1920, and he stayed here, unlike the other monks and yogis that talked about Hatha Yoga, about yoga in the U.S. or in the West. He stayed here in Los Angeles, and his name was Paramahansa Yogananda. That's a bit of a mouthful. And he was born in 1893 on January 5th. And this being the closest Sunday to January 5th, we've always, here at the Ananda Temple, we've always celebrated his birthday. We did a few skits. Martha, you would have loved it. And one of them even involved a motorcycle. So we raced around the temple in a motorcycle. Well, in a prop, but at the end...
Was that the story where Master Yoga, Paramahansa Yogananda, where he gave away the motorcycle?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We showed the scene where he loves the motorcycle so much, and then about 2 minutes later, somebody likes it, and he says, you can have it. I don't want it anymore. So
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. There were many children there, and they had a blast.
Well, and what often happens for me, Morley, these days, I have not yet mastered being two places at once. So most of the time when temple's going on, I'm doing a live radio show. But the good news is, and any of you out there are thinking, boy, I would have liked to have been there for the birthday celebration for Yogananda and seen these skits, you can watch with me after the show because you can do it in two places. You can go to the AnandaWashington.org website and watch the recorded streamed version, or you can go to Facebook, and it's Ananda Seattle and Bothell on Facebook, and you can watch the service that way. So I'm just always thrilled that most everything that Ananda does these days is hybrid, and you can watch online. So that's how I often, you know, see this stuff morally, is after the fact, because I watch it, you know, on the Facebooks live.
Yeah. Now that's a, we are very blessed that we could broadcast it that way, and more people can enjoy what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, and one of the reasons we get your esteemed self here with us on Animal World is because some of the biggest classes of the year that Ananda does are coming up shortly.
Yes.
And you play a major role in these classes.
I do.
So tell us what's coming up.
Well, what's coming up? Let me start with the later class first and work my way back to the earlier class.
Okay, sounds good.
So on January 18th, that is not this upcoming Thursday, but the one after that, we have a very interesting class. It's called The Art and Science of Raja Yoga. And yoga, of course, as you all know, it's a set of practices. And Raja Yoga is the most universal form of that practice. And, you know, Martha, as you know, most people think of yoga as a way of getting more flexible, as stretching your muscles. And it's certainly that. But the ultimate expression yoga, the far deeper aspect of yoga, is it's an extraordinary way to use the body to refine the mind. You see, what happens is we are stuck with a body that doesn't want to move, and we are stuck with a mind that doesn't want to stop moving. And
there you go.
Yeah, isn't that true? And every definition of health and well-being says that you got to do the opposite. Your body has to move, and your mind has to calm down. And when you think about it, the thing that can do both at the same time is the breath. If you are about to jump or you're about to run, what do? We take a deep breath. If somebody is freaking out, what do? We say, stop and take a deep breath. Just the act of breathing, the connection between body and mind, can move the body and calm the mind, and therefore can bring about health and well-being. I'm simplifying things, of course, but it's really based on this fundamental intuition. And a set of practices that combine the body and the breath with careful awareness of what's going on in the mind, this set of practices has been around for as long as humanity has been around, almost certainly longer than the Great Pyramid has been around, and probably longer than Stonehenge has been around. Wow. And this set of practices, for 5,000-6,000 years, every day, somewhere, somebody got up and said, I'm going to explore how I can use my breath and my body to get well, to calm the mind, and in the process, advance spiritually. And the name given to this is Raja Yoga. And it involves yoga postures, of course. It involves some really extraordinary breathing techniques. You wouldn't think that the breath would be so powerful, or perhaps you would, but there is so much power in there that it can bring about an instant transformation to the body and, more importantly, to the mind. They're called pranayama, so we teach that. And then we teach some more advanced practices which help us sit still and meditate, because in order to be more productive outward, we have to find the source of energy inward. So taken together, these practices are known as Raja Yoga. And it's really hard to find a class that deals with them holistically. You can find a class that teaches you yoga poses. You can find classes that teach meditation. But when you put all of them together, something very interesting and powerful happens. So what we do, and we've been doing this year probably since 1986 or 1987. It's a very long-running class. Wow. We offer this for 12 weeks every Thursday, from 6 to 9:15 p.m. here at the temple, or, as Martha, you were remarking, it's hybrid. You can take the whole class online, and it starts the Thursday after next and continues on for 12 weeks.
And that's been an amazing, I think, transformation for Ananda, the silver lining in the pandemic was when everything had to be shut down and we couldn't do in-person classes and so forth, Ananda had to become online and go virtual. But that really, really significantly changed things. And, you know, these classes were popular and were well attended with locals here. But now, aren't we getting students from all over the country and sometimes around the world now because it's all online?
Yeah. Yeah, last time we did this, we had 8 or 9 time zones represented. And it's all
wow.
over the country, all over, yeah. It was, it's just one of those things that we put it out there and we doubled down during the pandemic and reached out more. And then people just, it turned out that that was exactly what people wanted and that was what we needed to do as well. It's just been a wonderful journey for this course through the pandemic. And now, post-pandemic, it's we've really had very magnetic classes. And I have to say, you know, I lead the class, and teaching along with me is Nancy Callan, whom I know you know, Martha.
Yes, yes.
She's a marvelous senior yoga teacher. But much of the beauty, the magnetism, the depth of the class comes from the students, because yoga is not something we teach. Yoga is something that we all experience together. And so who shows up for the class actually makes all the difference. And so it's a bit of a journey that we do together. I'm up there on the dais and so is Nancy, and we say a few things. But for the most part, it's just such a wonderful way of getting together, going inward, and feeling the simple beauty of staying still.
Yeah, and for those that think, well, I can't do this because I can't sit still. And I can't do this because my mind's always busy. I couldn't meditate. And, you know, I mean, what do you say to folks like that? Because that's what this class is for, isn't it? You help people deal with those issues.
Yes. See, well, one answer that I always give, people say, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible. I cannot meditate because I cannot sit still. And my answer is, well, if you were able to do both, then you wouldn't need the class, the whole point of the class. But all kidding aside, it's one of the first things we are going to teach you is how can you go from being fidgety and restless to being quite still within the space of 5 minutes. And it's really not that hard. All it needs is a judicious combination of movement and breath. And it's so simple and powerful that the question very soon is not one of, I cannot sit still, but it is more that, well, I can only sit still for half an hour. How can I sit still for 1 hour? And people progress very rapidly.
All right. So the good news is that it doesn't matter if you think you're not flexible and can't do stuff. Doesn't matter if you think you can't sit still. And it doesn't matter if you can't still your mind. It's always busy. Because like Morley, you know, Dr. Morley said, is that if you could do all that, you wouldn't need the class. So that's why you come to class and you get the wonderful gift of learning all of that. So that's wonderful. I love that. If you could do it all, you don't need the class. So don't worry about that, because that's what you're there to learn. Now, and Morley, we've got to take a little break and take care of our advertisers for the last time in the show. Then we'll come back and get any more last minute details that Dr. Morley has about the art and science of Raja Yoga and that business. But then there's another big one coming up, and so we got to talk about that too. So everybody stay right where you are. More with Dr. Morley Venkatrove from Ananda straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thank you. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
This is Sue Rose Minahan inviting you to tune in to Talk Cosmos, insightful conversation Sunday, January 7, 1 p.m. Pacific, with Archetypal Symbols panel about the 2024 Capricorn New Moon, told through symbolic metaphors, numerology, tarot, illuminating its vision story theme, creative growth. So come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, January 7, 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Seattle, Tacoma, Antwerp? That's right. We're streamed worldwide on our app and on the web at 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down our first 2024 edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon, and then every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. I am delighted to say that we are chatting with one of my favorite people on the planet. That would be Dr. Morali Venkatro, the only doctor of yoga I know, from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. Good morning again, Dr. Morali.
Good morning, Martha.
Oh, gosh, I could just hear you say that all just over and over again. I still feel connected to you because I see you often, especially when you do service and that sort of thing, because I'm always watching online. I just am not there at the temple very often, but hopefully I think the life is starting to get more back to normal and unfortunately, just all my friends that lived out here in the, you know, the forest with me, you know, they've all moved. I'm getting older and, you know, and driving, especially after dark and stuff, is something I try to avoid. But hopefully I'm going to get back to the temple more often.
We'd love to see you here.
Yeah, and that'll happen. But at any rate, we were talking about the one of our most popular classes, the art and science of Raja Yoga, and that will be beginning on Thursday, January 18th, that it runs from 6 to 9:15 p.m., and you can do it in person at the Blue Lotus Temple in Bothell, or you can attend online. And I would imagine probably, Dr. Morali, that you could do both ways, that you could come in person when you can, and if something happened and you couldn't get there in person, you could join online?
Yes, yes. You can mix and match. And in fact, most people tend to do that.
Ah, okay. That is, I've taken the class a couple of times, but I've done it in person. And just the one thing I want to say to you, because it was at the class was at the same time the last time I took it at that 6 to 9:15, and I can just remember one day, and it was not available online back then. The last time I took it, So
yes.
I remember it had been a long day and I was really tired and I was just dragging my you know what into the temple, and I was thinking, there's just no way I can do this evening, you know, because we had the hatha, the physical yoga first, and then the class, and I thought, I'm just not going to make it. And I was absolutely blown away, Dr. Morley, because we did the little bit of yoga that we did and all of that. I couldn't believe how it's just miraculously energizing. And by the time we got through the first part of the class, I like felt great. And you know, we have our little break and come back for the rest of the class. And I was awake and ready and enjoyed the class and had plenty of energy to drive home. So if you're concerned about the evening and you don't think you can do it, just go and gives you lots of energy.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things yoga does is when we are tired, we are really tired because we can no longer do anything. We are generally tired because the energy is not flowing. Something's blocked somewhere. And all you need to do is open it up a little bit. I loved how you said it. It's just a little bit of yoga, and that's all it takes. And it was as if you don't even remember feeling tired.
Yeah, it's like I got zapped with a big energy pill. You know, it's like all of a sudden I was awake and ready and enjoyed the whole evening, and it was just amazing. So I never was concerned about going to class after that. In fact, if I was on the tired side, it was, I'm going because I'm going to feel so much better. I know that, anything else about that class you want to talk about before we go on to the next one?
No, that's really, well, the only other thing I want to say is this depth of Raja Yoga, if you want to get it really anywhere else, you probably have to go to an ashram in India. So it's a fairly unique class in the sense that it goes back to the... If you need a sense of how yoga was practiced in India 300, 400 years ago, then how we teach it in this class is really how it was.
How much money you save, everybody. You have to pay for the class, but it saves you paying for a trip to India and living in an ashram for 3 months.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a hot deal. Now, we got something else coming up, so what's the next subject, Dr. Morley?
Well, the next subject, I wanted to pick up on what you said, which was all it takes is 5 minutes of yoga for me to recapture the energy that I had lost during the day. And the reason it works that way has something to do with how the body is aligned, and especially how our spine, our back, you know, if you say our parents, or perhaps most likely grandparents, always used to say, straighten your back. And there's a lot of insight in there that when the spine is straight, we feel less tired. When the spine is straight and we breathe deeply, we feel even less tired. When the spine is straight, we breathe deeply and we stretch the body, we feel even less tired. When the spine is straight, we breathe deeply, we stretch the body, and we energize the core, then all tiredness disappears. And these four steps that I just described is the essence of all of yoga. But by the time you connect the dots and understand why this is and how to implement it in my own body, how to deepen my yoga pose, how to have a lot of endurance, how to prevent back pain, how to prevent insomnia, all of those things, all of those are possible. They are proven scientific benefits of yoga. I myself am an active researcher in the biomedical field, and my specialty is the endocrine system, especially as it relates to diabetes. And there are so many benefits of yoga, but it has to be done in the right way. So we have a training that's coming up. It's called Yoga Teacher Training. It's both an appropriate name, but also slightly bit of a misnomer, meaning teaching yoga has nothing to do with it, except in the sense teaching yoga to yourself. If you want to understand how to do yoga properly and why it works the way it works and how to modify it for your own body and delve deep into each of the asanas or yoga postures, and then talk about how the energy flows and where yoga came from. And I will, during this course, I and the team of three other teachers, including Nancy, will be delving deep into all of these topics and anatomy and physiology as it relates to yoga. And during the course, I'll even tell a couple of stories about the origin of yoga, and they're very fascinating. They have been around in India for several thousand years. So it's a very balanced 3.5-month training happening every other weekend starting January 14th. That is next Sunday, next Saturday.
Right.
And it goes on.
Well, January 14th is next Sunday. So does it start on the 13th or the
13th?
13th, yeah.
So that's yoga teacher training.
And, that's every other Sunday?
Every other weekend.
Every other weekend, okay.
Yeah, we have full day Saturday and half a day Sunday.
And so that goes on for how long?
That goes on until the end of May. There are 11 weekends that roughly happen every other weekend.
All right, so it's called yoga teacher training, but you don't have to want to teach yoga to do this other than teaching it to yourself, like you said, but it can deepen your practice and you get all the understandings that Morley's been sharing with us about all the wonderful things that it helps. And I'm thinking about, because you mentioned that one of your specialty area or what you particularly are researching is the effects of yoga with diabetes.
Yeah.
And certainly there are lots and lots of people that have that issue. And I'm thinking of a young relative of mine that has, type 1, from birth, but it has been really struggled throughout her life to get into balance with it. Yoga is something that could really help her, right?
Well, with type 1, it can only help her to the extent of increasing the effects of insulin, but it does not actually address type 1 at its core causation level, which is, of course, the body's inability to produce insulin. But for type 2, which is the more common form,
right?
It was unusually helpful. My own research, we've been able to show that glycemic control, meaning controlling your blood sugar, that's the outcome when one gets diagnosed with diabetes. All treatment's outcome is glycemic control. We've been able to show that 3 months of yoga has the same benefits as the standard insulin-related therapies and exercise that one does for diabetic care. And this was an unexpected result. We didn't expect the routine, the intervention to be that powerful. And then there is, it actually turns out that yoga gives you something known as beneficial stress. The body needs to work and move a little bit. The sympathetic nervous system needs to engage a little bit in order for the skeletal muscles to respond to insulin. And almost certainly through that particular pathway of beneficial stress, yoga seems to really achieve glycemic control, and it seems to affect the sugar insulin homeostatic mechanism in the body in a way that's fundamental enough that we don't yet understand it.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're just smack out of time here, Dr. Morley, but I hope that's piqued the interest in you all. And if you want to investigate the art and science of Raja Yoga or the yoga teacher training, go to anandawashington.org. You'll find the details there. The art and science starts on January 18th, and the yoga teacher training starts January 13th. 14th, that weekend anyway. So check it out. Dr. Morley, thanks for spending time with us here, and I'll hope to have you on for longer next time. God bless.
Thank you, Martha. Always a pleasure to be on your show and to talk
to you. All righty. And then we, like I said, we are really out of time. So all I have time to do is say Happy New Year. Next week, Dr. Nels and Linda, call in for your free remote treatments. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, share your love with all living things. Go Seahawks, go Huskies. Talk to you next week. God bless. We'll be right back.